Father, one of the ways that you have very powerfully shown us your grace, your love for us, is by giving us your word to study. It is through this word that we know you, through your word that we have the knowledge that it takes for us to be able to be forgiven for our sins through faith in Jesus Christ. It's only through your word that we can know the truth of the gospel. It's through your word that we grow in our relationship with you once we've come to Christ. We know what we have ahead of us. We know what the future holds because you have revealed it to us in your word. We pray, Father, that we would see your word as the treasure that it is. That we would desire to know you through your word. We pray that you would teach us as we study it together this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I looked back, and it was the first Sunday in October that we finished 1 Peter. And at that point, it wasn't my intention for it to be the first Sunday in January before we began on 2 Peter. But there were some things that came to mind as we were working through 1 Peter that I thought would be beneficial for us to go back and look at a little more in depth. And so I don't believe that the weeks between then and now were wasted. I hope that those weeks that we spent looking at the subjects of God caring for us and the trust that we should have in God, some weeks that we spent studying about using the gifts that God has given to us to enable us to serve in the body of Christ and the love that we are to have for each other. My hope is that you've been able to do some thinking about those things and that you are still looking for ways to apply those truths and to put them into practice. These are some subjects I believe are very important. Some that I don't want us to look at as that we've been there, studied that, now we put it back on the shelf and we're moving on to new things. And so please keep these things in mind. Please continue to pray about these things. Pray about ways that you can show love to your brothers and sisters in Christ by serving them with the gifts that God has given you. I just may do some more prodding on these things in the future to make sure that we don't forget. So be ready. This morning, we're going to begin a study of 2 Peter. And my reason for wanting to follow 1 Peter with 2 Peter may seem obvious just because of the continuity that's there between the two books. And two comes after one, so naturally, why not? But when you look at the contents of the two letters, of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, there's actually not a whole lot of continuity in the subjects that are covered. So that wasn't necessarily my reason. But there is some continuity in the author of the two books and in the recipients of the letter. As we went through 1 Peter, we had the opportunity to get to know some things about Peter. And the author now for 2 Peter is the same. We were able to get fairly well acquainted with the recipients of 1 Peter. We got to know quite a bit about what their lives were like. And 2 Peter was most likely originally written to those same believers. And so that may help a little bit in our understanding of why Peter wrote some of the things he wrote in 2 Peter. And we'll talk a little more about that as we go on this morning, as well as why 2 Peter was written. Why was this book necessary? Why do these people need to know these things? We're going to do a little overview this morning of some of the major themes of the letter of 2 Peter this morning. So we begin chapter 1, verse 1. We find Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, as you have read in your Bibles through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what really stands out to you about Peter that you have read? Probably one of the main things you remember about Peter, if you'd sum it up in a word, would maybe be something like arrogant. That describes Peter pretty well, doesn't it? Peter was always just so pushy. He always wanted to be first. He always thought that he knew best. We find some occasions where Peter even thought he knew better than Jesus. He was going to correct Jesus and get Jesus straightened out. Well, Peter had a problem with pride. And a lot of people, when they want to find someone in the Bible that they can relate with, will pick out Peter because he was so normal. Because we all have problems with pride. Well, Peter's problem of pride got better. As we read the story of Peter, toward the end of the Gospel of John, we find that Peter really needed some humbling. And Peter got that opportunity to be humbled. Peter had been so confident that there was nothing could happen that would ever cause him to deny Jesus. But then just a couple hours later, Jesus was arrested. Peter was confronted by a slave girl and said, "Hey, aren't you one of those men who are with Jesus?" And just that little comment from a little slave girl was enough. Peter denied ever knowing Jesus. Then he denied Jesus a couple more times. And Peter realized what was happening, and he was very grieved by it. He was very humbled by this happening. And at the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus restored him. Shortly after that, in the book of Acts, Peter received the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter learned a lot of things. Peter was a changed man. And Peter realized a little better after all of these things happened just how dependent he was. This how much he needed God. He needed help. He realized that he wasn't as amazing and as important and as smart as he thought he was. And it was after Peter realized all those things that he became useful. He became useful once he became humble. And we see some evidence of that humility here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, when Peter introduces himself as a slave. Your Bible probably says something about a servant or a bondservant. The best word there is slave. That's how Peter saw himself. He was a slave. A slave of Jesus Christ. On his own, as Peter often tried to operate in the Gospels, Peter was nothing. He messed up all the time. He was normal. But he had been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And he was now in a far better position than he had ever been, being owned by God, being a slave of Jesus Christ. Being in a position where he could be used by God to accomplish things that were actually of eternal good. To glorify God as a slave of Jesus Christ. And Peter saw himself as having been given as a living sacrifice to God. We looked at that somewhat recently, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Peter saw himself as that, a slave. He had given himself fully to Jesus Christ. He was at Jesus' disposal. There was nothing too great, nothing too small that could be asked of him to do for the sake of Jesus Christ. His life was Christ. Even if that meant his death. And for Peter, it did. It did mean that he was going to die. But that was up to Jesus, not Peter. Not anymore. His life was for Christ. His life was in Jesus' hands, and he'd do anything for him. He was a slave. But he was also an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was a humble slave, but he had been given a very important job to do. He had been given the job by Jesus to take the message of Jesus to the world. He was given authority to be God's spokesperson as an apostle. So the things that Peter would write would carry the message, or it would carry the authority of God himself as being God's messenger. So this is God's word. Now Peter introduces himself that way as an apostle of Jesus Christ so that his readers would take these words seriously. This is a message for you from God, coming through the apostle Peter. An apostle, very important position. But so that we don't picture Peter standing there, tugging at his suspenders, looking down his nose at all those lowly Christians around him. He was that apostle as a slave. This didn't make anything great of him. He was doing this because this is what God gave him to do. He was a slave, carrying out the work that his master gave him to do. His master gave him the job to be an apostle, and that is how he was going to serve. Now, from that position, he was serving those who would receive this letter. That includes us. Originally, that was some first century Christians. In 2 Peter, he doesn't identify specifically who received this letter. But if we consider that in chapter 3, verse 1, he says that this is the second letter he has written to these people, it makes an awful lot of sense to believe that 1 Peter was the first letter, 2 Peter is the second letter. Now, there are people out there in this world who want others to think that they're smarter than they really are, and so they come up with all these theories about, well, maybe there was some other letter that got lost, and so this is actually to some other people, and we don't have the first letter, but now this is the second one, the only one that got saved. But really, what makes the most sense is the easiest solution, is that 1 Peter was the first letter, 2 Peter is the second letter, and we've got plenty of reasons to believe that these were the same aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia from 1 Peter. Now, what do you remember about the people that Peter was writing to in 1 Peter? Is there anything that sticks out in your minds about them? If there is, it should be the primary thing, is that these were people who were suffering. They were suffering because of persecution. Coming to them from outside of the church, outside of the body of Christ, people who hated them because of their testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. And this suffering was severe. They were being severely persecuted, living in some very difficult times. And the letter of 1 Peter was all about how to live in those kinds of times. How to live with difficulty. How to live with pain. How to live with suffering. And how to look at life and understand life and respond to suffering. So that is still the context that Peter is writing this to. Same people, same situation. The persecution hasn't stopped. Second Peter was written about 1 or 2 years after First Peter. Nero was still emperor. Nero was still awful. And life was still very difficult. Now that gives us some of the background that Second Peter was written into. In the second half of verse 1 in chapter 1, Peter identifies his readers this way. He says, "Those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, there's a few things that we can notice in this verse, in this half of this verse. When he says that they have received a faith, the wording here means that it was a faith that was given to them. Now, we talked about this recently on a Wednesday evening. I don't remember when exactly, but it was recent. About how when we are spiritually dead in sin, which everyone is before salvation, saving faith isn't something that we can stir up on our own. It's not there. We're dead. It has to be given to us. And that is why all of salvation is by grace. Everything about salvation is by grace. Now, sometimes we don't like parts of that. There's parts of it that we like, but we want to think of some of it depending on us. That there has to be something about it that I did. We want to believe that there is somewhere some goodness in us, even if it's way down deep. But there's not. It's all by grace. Even this part that we see as being our part in salvation, the faith that it takes to put it into practice that makes it operative in us. We're saved by grace through faith. That faith has to be given to us. It's a gift. We receive faith. It's God's grace. If you have faith in Christ today, it's because that faith was given to you by Him. Salvation should humble us, because it should cause us to realize that there is nothing good in us. Not a single thing. We are so dependent on grace. We should be so thankful for grace. Being referred to as one who has received faith, that should humble us. Thank God for it. You also notice in verse 1, he says that that faith was of the same kind as ours. I believe the ours that he is talking about would be he and the other apostles. Once again, showing some of Peter's humility. When it comes to salvation, for all who are saved, we are all on the same plane. No one is any better or more saved than any other saved person. If any Christian would look down at other Christians and thinking that you are less than I am, you need to repent of that. We have all received the same faith, if you have faith in Jesus Christ. We are all in need of the same grace. Peter recognized that even from his position as an apostle, that all these Christians that he was writing to, they're on the same plane as he was. And that salvation, the faith that puts it into effect, he says in verse 1, that all comes by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where does that faith come from? Where does salvation come from? Not by our righteousness, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And notice also that phrase, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter believed that Jesus was God. This verse teaches us the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God and Savior. There's so much important doctrine just in these few words in this first verse that we shouldn't miss. All of salvation is by grace. All of salvation is about the righteousness of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice that he made for us. The reason it works, it's effective, it's enough, is because Jesus is God. The reason we can depend on him to be our advocate, the reason we can depend on him that the work that he did is sufficient and that if we have put our faith in him, we will be saved for eternity, it's because he's God. There's all kinds of hope in this verse. So why this letter? Why 2 Peter? Why was this written? Well, Peter believed that he didn't have much longer to live, according to chapter 1, verse 14. The end of his life was near. That's what he believed that when he wrote this, and he was right. This letter was probably written within about a year's time of Peter being put to death as a martyr. This letter was probably written from a prison in Rome shortly before he was put to death. And we don't know that for certain. We don't know exactly where he was, but because of the timing of all of this, that seems likely. But Peter knew his end was near. Now, if you could put yourself in that situation, if you were pretty certain that your life was very near its end, and there was a pretty good possibility that some of your brothers and sisters in Christ were also going to be dead soon because they were being so persecuted, many of them were being martyred, what do you believe would be important information to pass on to them? If you were in that situation where you were pretty sure that your life was near the end, maybe we'd be so self-focused that we wouldn't care about the others. But Peter did. He knew that there were some things that these believers needed to know. He had to tell them these things while he was still here to tell them. So what is it? What did Peter believe was so important that they must know? Well, we're going to find as we go through 1 Peter that this isn't just what Peter thought they needed to know, but this is what God wanted Peter to tell them. This is what God thinks is so important for Christians to know. The first thing that we find emphasized in this letter is the importance of godliness for Christians. Even when life is on the line, be godly. And we don't find any inkling in this letter of the thought of, if you're going to go to heaven anyway, doesn't really matter how you live and life is short, so just don't sweat it. It's no big deal. And we don't find that. Even if you're going to die tomorrow and go on into heaven for eternity, godliness is important for today. We're going to be studying that very soon in chapter 1 as we move through 2 Peter. Godliness is important. We're also going to find strongly emphasized in this letter the importance of knowing and standing firm on the truth. We're going to come across the word knowledge several times. We saw it once in the verses we're looking at this morning in our scripture reading. We saw it again. We find it several times in this letter, the word knowledge, and especially true knowledge, as opposed to the false teaching of the false prophets. Now, Peter wrote this letter because there was a serious concern that in addition to the persecution that was coming to these believers from the outside, there were false teachers rising up inside of these churches who were trying to lead them into error. And Peter wanted to fix that. He wanted to prevent that from happening any further. So Peter points them in this letter to the one authority that they are to look to know the truth, which is what? God's Word, the Bible, the same authority we have today. We find when we study 2 Peter that we must see God's Word as towering above everything else, towering in its importance, in its authority. That there is no other opinion, no other book, no other leader, no other movement, no other influence. There is no personal experience that we could have that should come anywhere close in our minds to the authority of the Bible. It is the authority. It's not just one voice among many. It's not one of the many options. It is the authority. It is the judge and the standard by which we measure all of those other things. So often we want to take our experiences and say, this is what happened to me, so this is how I'm going to understand the Bible. That is completely backwards. The Bible is the authority. The Bible is the judge, the standard that we are to measure our experiences by, our opinions by. God's Word is true. It is perfect. It is permanent. It's complete. And it's sufficient. We find that in 2 Peter. So the single most important question we should be asking about life, about eternal life, is what does the Bible say? The ruling principle for every part of our life, every decision we make, everything we do needs to be, this is what the Bible says. So this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to think, because this is what the Bible says. This is how I'm going to feel, because this is what the Bible says. This is how I'm going to speak, because this is what the Bible says. That is the overarching principle for everything in life. What does God say? That's what should matter to us. Every decision we have to make, everything about the way we live our lives, what does God say? And the only place we need to go to find what God says is the Bible. The Bible is God's Word. There's nothing else that comes anywhere close to that. That's what we find in 2 Peter. In verse 2 of chapter 1, Peter writes, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Now, having a desire and wishing it upon those who you're writing to for grace and peace was kind of a common greeting in letters in the day. But I believe that this was more than that when Peter said it. I believe that this was his prayer for them, because they really needed grace and peace in their lives. And the only place that they would find the grace and the peace that they needed is in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. A knowledge that is found in the Scriptures. There's one other emphasis that we will find in 2 Peter. It comes in chapter 3. And it's related to the others. And that is that the coming day of the Lord is something that we ought to be constantly looking for. Jesus is coming back. Now, there would be false teachers who will try to convince you that it's not going to happen. And we have been going on for so long. Everything is just going on just like it always has been. He's not coming back. That's a fairy tale. But God's word says that it's true. The authority, the towers above all other opinions, God's word says that Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. So hold tight to that promise. And because it's true, because Jesus is going to return, and because everything that we see is going to be burned up, and we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, be godly. That is the conclusion that Peter comes to from knowing that Jesus is going to return. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Be godly. So as we study 2 Peter in the weeks ahead, if the Lord decides to keep us here, we're going to learn to be godly. We're going to be learning to avoid false teaching. We're going to learn to stand firm on the truth of God's word and learn to look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, as we do, I have a request for you. Please be praying for our study of 2 Peter. I would appreciate your prayers for me as I prepare to teach. I would appreciate your prayers for each other. Be praying that we would all learn to be godly, that we would learn to stand firm on the truth of God's word, and that we would learn to look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. Pray for each other so that we would be the church that God wants us to be, so that we would bring glory to God that He deserves. So that's my request for you, as well as be here. Come on Sunday mornings so we can study together 2 Peter. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for moving the Apostle Peter through the Holy Spirit to record the words of 2 Peter. We thank you for the work that you did in Peter's life to humble him, so that he would understand his position of being a slave of Jesus Christ, so that he could rightly use that position that you put him in to be the apostle of Jesus Christ, to carry the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, and coming down to us through the letters that he has written. We thank you for the work that you have done through Peter. We thank you for those Christians so long ago who endured what they endured through all the persecution and remained faithful, and through the false teaching who stood firm on the truth, that they are now standing as witnesses, that great cloud of witnesses, that it can be done. That life on this earth is hard, but it can be lived faithfully. We can grow in godliness. We thank you for your word that you have given to be the authority, the standard by which we measure everything else. We pray that as we study 2 Peter, that you would help us to see it as that, and that we would live our lives in a way that would align with your word, that we would put it in the position of prominence that it deserves, and measure everything in our lives by it. We pray that you would help us to be reminded and to think constantly about Jesus coming back, and to be reminded that it could be today, and that we would live our lives like Jesus could return today, and this could be our last day on this earth. And so we pray, Father, that with that hope and that knowledge, that we would purify ourselves, that we would live godly lives with a desire to glorify you through pointing others through our lives and through our words to Jesus Christ. We pray that you would be glorified in our study of 2 Peter. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.